We're at the 2017 Cattle Industry Summer Business Meetings. With us today, Lisa Harrison from the NCBA. And you're involved on the NCBA side, working with the beef checkoff and all the various domestic marketing type programs. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on. Specifically at this meeting, you're sifting through a lot of requests for money.
Yeah. Well, we're actually making our proposals to the Cattlemen's Beef Board, the joint committees, about what we want to do next year and the funding that we would need to do that. So all of our programs are really geared this year towards relaunching the Beef Is What's For Dinner brand. We've been spending some time talking to consumers, talking to millennials about trying to measure the equity that the Beef Is What's For Dinner brand has. The beef industry has been using it for over 25 years, and it's interesting that even with the young millennials, it still has a lot of equity in there. And so all of our programs will be geared towards that, whether it's a new website that we will be launching in October. We're putting together a producer image campaign in a really fun and innovative way to reach those millennials. And then also focusing on our product. Mm-hmm. Our product is really our best asset, and making it a little bit more front and center than it maybe has been. And so relaunching the Beef Is What's For Dinner brand, merging the discussion that we have with consumers about the product as well as how it's produced, we're very excited about it and looking forward to October when we launch.
What is it about that statement, Beef Is What's For Dinner? Why have you gravitated to that?
Well, it's an iconic brand, and when you look at branding and how much, there are many companies that would love to have that kind of awareness and recognition of their tagline, and it is something that it's just stood the test of time from when the very beginning of the checkoff, and consumers, it's a latent memory for them, and so if we can go and spark that memory about their love for beef, that's what we're intending to do, trying to modernize it, putting it in today's pop culture, and using some of the great creative tools that you can do with social media to not only rebrand it, relaunch it, but add it, put it in today's vernacular.
I know it's been two or three year process of you making the decision and actually gravitating and putting all of these various individual websites under the one banner.
Exactly. We had 8 websites for different audiences, whether it was for retailers, food service, nutritionists, that sort of thing. And again, the lines are being blurred about what they all want to know the same thing. They want to know about the product. They want to know about its nutrient content. But they also want to know how it's produced. They want to know who's producing their food. And so it just made sense to make a one-stop shopping. We've also completely enhanced what we're calling the interactive butcher counter. That's something that is still an issue for consumers. When they look at the meat case, it's a sea of red. There's so much variety. What are these cuts and what do I do with it? So making it much more interactive and using the technology that is available today. So when they're at the meat case, they can make those decisions. We're also looking at in FY18, leveraging some of the new AI, artificial intelligence technology that's out there. Bots are becoming more and more the norm about how consumers receive their information, whether it's Alexa, the Echo from Amazon, or Google's Google, or even Siri on your iPhone. So we're looking at taking this great content that we have and delivering it through the technology platforms that consumers are using today. So it's pretty exciting. But all of that under the banner of Beef Is What's For Dinner and leveraging the strength and the equity of that to propel our message forward.
So the Beef Is What's For Dinner website, the all-encompassing website that'll be there, that'll be where you'll point people from social media to get the resources.
Exactly. And so it's a whether it's through the bot technology, whether it's through Facebook, whether it's through other social media platforms, all pushing them back there, but also taking that information that we have on beefiswhatsfordinner.com and actually pushing it out to consumers. So it's a push and a pull in a two-way street and a conversation that we want to have with the consumers. But we've tested it. Consumers love it. They love the website. They love having it all right there, all the information that they want to know about beef today.
when you think about, you know, how that's going to play back with the interaction, the initial interaction with consumers on the Facebook and the Twitter and all the other social media sites that are out there, Instagram and everything else. The industry obviously made a commitment 3 or 4 years ago now to really go that way hard and to reach out to millennials and others. We're the third or fourth generation now trying to figure all that out?
Yeah. Well, it's just the way that consumers want to receive information today, and that's through all these digital platforms. Certainly broadcast TV is still something that Americans utilize, but they're watching television on so many different devices. They're streaming it. It's not the traditional broadcast. But the good news for us by using the digital platforms and social media is that it's much more cost efficient. And you can also be a lot more nimble in your messaging. Whereas before, you'd spend millions of dollars producing, multi-million of dollars producing a television spot. And then if it didn't work, well, you were kind of stuck with it. You'd had to go invest again. Today, you can put a message out on social media, and if it doesn't resonate, if it's not exciting the consumer to engage with you, then you can change it at a very low cost. So it's a much better use of producer dollars, but it's also, more importantly, it's the way the consumer wants to receive information today.
The messages that you're trying to deliver, how do you select those? How do you fine-tune things on the fly, really?
Right. Well, we're very fortunate that we have a very robust market intelligence and market research program that's funded by the Checkoff. So we can go out, and we're constantly talking with consumers. Nothing that we put out in the public sphere hasn't been tested from a message standpoint, because we want to make sure that when we do have that moment of attention from the consumer, that we're actually resonating with them. So everything that we do is tested, and let the consumers tell us what it is that they want. What do they like about our product? What don't they like? What is the gaps of information that they have about our product and about our industry? So it really does start with that market intelligence and market research, and we're very fortunate that we have the resources through the Checkoff to do that, because it makes us smarter and it makes us use those dollars a lot more efficiently.
The just released audit, the 2016 edition of the audit, it pointed to a couple of factors that the beef value chain is seeing out there right now, including the food safety question. How do you incorporate that?
Well, consumers tell us that they obviously expect and demand that we have a safe product, and not only is there high confidence in the safety of our product, but the evidence bears that out. The industry has made just significant strides in producing not only a safer product, but a better product. It's more tender today. It's more consistent. That's something that the consumers have wanted us to do. So a lot of that goes back to Checkoff-funded research that really leads to solutions for producers to produce a better product. And so doing the beef quality audit every 5 years, it really helps us, the industry, helps us measure ourselves. Mm-hmm. How are we doing? How do our customers think that we're doing? And we're doing good. We still have, probably the biggest barrier to today's consumers eating beef is the price. But retail prices are coming down. Food service prices are coming down. We think it's a good value, but it is a more expensive protein. So we have to make sure that when they do invest in it, that it's a great eating experience. And that's what the tenderness survey, the beef quality audit allows us to do. And we've made great strides over the years, and we'll continue to do so, and investing in making the product that the consumer wants.
Sounds like almost it's a two-way avenue of information flow. In other words, you're trying to find out what the consumer wants, but you're also wanting to then pass that information back to producers so they're producing the right cuts of beef, right attributes for beef.
It's absolutely important for us to be a conduit to both the consumer and the producer. When you are an industry like the beef industry that is very segmented. You have to push those consumer signals all the way through the chain. It's not like we're one branded company and have total control over the production process, right? So the more that we can do that two-way street, both producers telling consumers about how they produce their product and consumers telling producers what it is that they would like to see in the product. And that's a role that that really does kind of sum up the role of the checkoff out there, that we kind of are that conduit between producers and consumers and can flow information back and forth. And we're seeing that really pay off for us as far as the popularity of beef. People still love beef. They might have gone away from it in the last couple of years because of the price, but we're trying to remind them that it's a good time to come back to the meat case. It's a good value, and of course it just tastes better than any other protein out there, animal protein or not. So,
in the area of competition for the attention of the consumer, mm-hmm. There's a lot of folks out there that want to drive their particular message, whether it's the natural arena, you know, that maybe want to, you know, somehow denigrate how we produce beef in this country by the mass majority of our producers. How do you handle that? In other words, how do you go through those minefields?
Well, I think a lot of it is just educating and making sure that we can provide the real facts. Obviously, there's so many different ways that you can produce beef in this country, and they're all good. There's whatever the consumer wants is in the meat case today, which is a good thing. The bad thing is that they might misunderstand what certain labels mean and what they don't mean. So one of the things that a brand new project that we just released was we put together, working with USDA and working with professionals, we call it choices. And so we go through each label and break it down exactly what it means from a production standpoint. So we did that just in a content form, but we have produced 15-second video segments that we're pushing out on social, mm-hmm. Just very quick, 10, 15 seconds, so that the consumer can learn about what does natural mean? What does grass-fed mean? What does grain-fed mean? What does organic mean? And what doesn't it mean? And so that they can just have the right information in order to make their choices, I think what they'll find is that there's something for everyone in the meat case, but they may not have to buy what the label says, because all beef is safe, all beef is good for you, and so we're just trying to provide that information.
Looking down the road, mm-hmm. Where are things going? You know, you're a forward-looking person, and what you're doing is very forward-looking. Mm-hmm. But looking even a little bit further down, what are you really anticipating at this point?
Well, I think our challenge is to, when it comes to our marketing dollars, is to make sure that marketing dollar is working over time. When the checkoff first started, the receipts were about $80 million, which was great. Well, it's half that today, just because of the efficiency of the industry. So we have fewer dollars at the checkoff today, so we have to be smarter and we have to be more efficient, and that was a big driving force for us to say, well, let's go back and leverage the equity and the assets that we already have, and that's the equity in that Beef and Spitzer dinner. Let's modernize it, let's put it back out there, and let that 30-year base of equity work for us and make our dollars work harder. So that's going to be a challenge. The other challenge is the way consumers are buying any product today is changing exponentially. So much more quicker today than it ever has been. So we're looking at, I kind of look at it in a 3-year time frame, because if anyone tells you what's going to happen in 5 or 10 years, don't believe them, because the world is just changing. I find it very exciting. The technology platforms that are out there will allow producers to have a much more direct relationship with consumers. And that's a good thing, because we know that when consumers meet producers, they go out to their farms, they go out to their ranches, they're hooked. They believe them. They trust producers. So social media and digital platforms allow us to make that happen, whether we're putting together a 360 video, in other words, the virtual reality. Not everyone can get out to a farm or ranch, but if you can put it in front of them in a virtual sense, then that's just going to help. So connecting the consumer and the producer is going to be key as we go forward, because consumers want to know who's producing their food. They want to know where their food comes from, and we have, and which is great news for us because we have great producers, and we're very proud of the way we produce beef in this country. We have a great story to tell, and we just have to work harder to tell it.
Thanks, Lisa. Lisa Harrison joining us today from the NCBA, working with Checkoff Dollars on behalf of cattle producers. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.